Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Michael effing Chandler with a knockout that is going to reverberate deep into next week and beyond.
I'm ready to come back. The main event. There is not one MMA fan on the planet that doesn't want to see me.
I am Michael Chandler.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I. Interesting show today. Michael Chandler returns. We always love Michael Chandler. And Mario Lopez, I don't think he's been on yet. I'm almost positive I've never interviewed him. So it'll be nice to talk to Mario Lopez. Probably he's a big MMA fan, and he's into boxing. So I guess I would be too. If I looked like him, I would probably want to do physical things as well.
Man. listen to me. My wife was Team Slater, not Team Zach. I don't know if you've ever seen Saved by the Bell.
I have. I wouldn't say I was an avid watcher. It's a little bit after my time.
But listen, it's when my wife was growing up. And then look, this many years later, she married Mario Lopez's stunt double. Not short, bald man. He's nothing like me at all. But
No.
Oh, let me tell you something. He does boxing. He does. He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. We know he has wrestling from Saved by the Bell. We've seen Slater in a singlet.
I don't remember that episode.
Slater in a singlet.
Slater in a singlet. Yeah, apparently you enjoyed that episode. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Is it annoying? Is it too annoying if I just did that 10 times?
Really? I'm just going to say yes. I'm going to guess yes. What are you saying now?
Jimmy, listen, it's Wednesday. Yes. I'm coming in hot. I'm going to slow it down a little bit.
That's right.
Your answer right there told me, Matt, just the reins a little bit.
That's all right.
Pull them in a little bit. All right, Jimmy, let's get off to a jog first.
Yeah, we're good. I'm looking forward to today's show. By the way, I got to say who I really... They're talking about Adesanya possibly fighting Yair Prochazka at light heavyweight.
Wait, I thought they were talking about... I'm seeing all sorts of things with Adesanya. Oh, no, my bad. Jan Błachowicz is going to fight Alex
Pereira. Pereira, yeah. I think that's a very tough fight for Alex. I mean, again, if he can knock anybody out, but if Jan gets a hold of you, and Jan hits a lot harder probably than anybody else in the middleweight division, at least.
I'm not worried about the striking of Jan. Not that I'm not worried about it.
Right.
But I think Alex Pereira might, and especially with some more meat on him, he'll be seeing those punches coming. I'm more concerned about the grappling aspect of that fight. If Jan Błachowicz got down Izzy, and I'm going to say Izzy's takedown, his defense is arguably better than Alex. I don't know, but Izzy's hard to get down.
Yes, he is.
So, you know, I'm more concerned with Jan Błachowicz taking down Alex and possibly finishing him down there.
Yeah, that's what I think would happen. I think he would pull him down.
I got caught up with saying Slater in a singlet.
I understand. It's running through your head.
The point was, I'm pretty sure he's got a wrestling background. He does boxing. He's a purple belt in MMA. If he was younger, he would have got his little feet wet. I know he does jiu-jitsu tournaments. You think he would have ever been interested in having an MMA fight? If he was younger, Jimmy, this is we're talking about an alternative universe.
Maybe.
Because he's like one of those guys that just, you look at him. You see he's boxing, he's doing jiu-jitsu, wrestling. He's mixing the arts. He's mixing the odds. What's yes. in the box?
What do you think of Jamal Hill against Adesanya?
You know, that's interesting because we talked about Jamal Hill versus Alex Pereira. Listen, anybody standing up anytime, I mean, you get guys at that highest level and they're not guys that usually go for takedowns. I mean, we're looking at a show, you know. Israel Adesanya, he's one of my, right now to watch, he's one of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
Not just because of how skilled he is. I love his fucking attitude. Not even the anime stuff. I like the anime stuff too. I like that he's not afraid to be himself.
He's not.
Really, I praise his guts, how brave he is. I mean, he's just, you know, to do what he did with Alex Pereira after losing to him the way he did.
Yeah.
Back like that to try to challenge himself and go up and to become a
light heavyweight, yeah,
champ,
Jan, yeah.
What is it, two division champ?
Yeah.
I mean, he's constantly testing himself and putting him out there to get to fight anybody. So I don't know. He's one of those rare breeds that has that superstar power and will just fight whoever they put in front of him. So he's exciting. What is he saying?
Adesanya would only have a 1-inch reach advantage against Jamal Hill, and they're both 6'4".
I don't get caught up in that whole reach advantage. You look at me.
Yes. That big. It does matter. Some when you watch a guy struggling a little bit to cover distance, or that we're having a little bit of a hard time figuring out how to get in, it can definitely. If a guy wants to keep a little distance and fight his fight, it can make a difference. If a guy's having a hard time covering that.
If you got that shorter wingspan, you know what I mean? There's ways to cover that distance. Take it from a guy 5'6" who was up to guy's nipples when he was fighting him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're used to it.
There's ways to fight your way in.
Yeah.
You know, double, triple jabs, you know, you come in behind that like a little armadillo, you know? So I don't know. Listen, I don't get caught up with that because it's all timing and whatnot. Sure. But I just think, skill wise, that would be an amazing fight.
Holy that would be an unbelievable.
That wouldn't
fight.
Be happening. He would be challenging, moving up in weight to challenge for that. What are we talking about? Right?
Who, Adesanya?
Yeah. No, yeah, well, Adesanya. What weight are we talking about?
Because
what?
Light heavyweight.
Yeah, but that'd be a 205. Yeah, a light heavyweight, but Adesanya. Yeah.
185.
He's usually 185, so he'd be going up.
Right, so I'm saying he'd be moving up. That's what, yeah, I'm talking about him moving up.
Oh, but has that been talked about? Is that
yes, I've heard him talked about with Prochazka. I've heard it talked about with Jamal Hill. Yeah.
Jimmy.
Especially after Pajeda's gone now, who is he going to – I mean, Pajeda's moving up, but they're saying could they collide again at light heavyweight? But it's almost like he has really he's really kind of cleaned out that division. Which is why that Alex rematch was so interesting. But you have Whitaker, you have Costa, you have all these guys he's fought already. So I think for him, it's more interesting. Just like for Jones, it was more interesting to go up to heavyweight and fight other people as opposed to fighting the same guys he had kind of cleaned out already, you know? My guess.
Man, listen, all I know, anytime that dude fights, he has my money.
Yep.
You know? But,
And what do you think about Chimaev and Usman? They're talking about they want to fight at 294 in Abu Dhabi.
Who?
They're talking about fighting at Abu Dhabi, 294, Usman and Chimaev. Now, let me ask you a question. On the prep sheet, it says reportedly doesn't it at a catchweight, meaning 185 is likeliest. There was a mistake in the prep show. Are you saying he's not he doesn't want to do it at a catch weight, Jake? UFC doesn't. Okay, doesn't want it at a catch weight. Doesn't want it. Okay.
I don't blame him because you got to find a home for.
Of course, 100%.
So I don't know. Listen, if that fight happens, it's like, yo, Kamaru Usman, that's the best way to get people talking again.
That's right.
Imagine he goes in there and he finishes, comes out. I mean, it's almost like, hey, dude, all right, let's forget about the last couple of performances here. He's back. It's like when Jack Nicholson breaks through the door in The Shining and he's like, here's Johnny, with his face coming through the thing.
And then he says, Wendy, I'm home.
Wendy, dude, he was fucking, I'm not going to hurt you, Wendy. Yeah. And she was great in that. We're talking about The
Shelley
Shining.
Shelley Duvall, yeah.
People, we're talking about The Shining, because if you watch it, he's being so creepy. She has a bat. And she goes up and he's writing this novel in this secluded, what is it? A secluded?
It's the Overlook Hotel. He was the caretaker for the winter.
And yes. And the previous caretaker went crazy up there. And
Delbert Grady.
Right? Killed his family. Yes. So when he went up there, he's writing this novel. The wife's thinking the whole time he's clicking away. She's thinking he's acting wacky. I'm telling for the kids who haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
She goes to see what he's writing. Do you remember what it said, Jimmy? All over and over again. Because I know
all
you said
work and no play makes Jack an exciting boy.
A dull boy, Jimmy.
Oh, dull boy.
No, you messed up at the end. I know you did on purpose. But she would read that, and Shelley Duvall, who's also known for her role in Popeye, the movie.
Yeah, that's
probably,
right.
Probably less known for that. She was so great in this movie, because when Jack Nicholson started going, Wendy, I'm not going to hurt you, Wendy. And he's putting his hands up, and she's going, yeah, get away from me. Yeah, get away. I'm not going to do my acting in front of the great Mario Lopez. Sorry.
Oh, he's in. Oh, no. He popped in and saw you doing a scene from The Shining. Hey, Mario.
How you doing? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you great.
Okay, great.
I'll tell you, Mario. Now I know why my wife had a crush on you. Look at this guy. I mean, he doesn't age. Since you
we
put him in a
started rolling already. I was already a fan of Matt's.
Hey, Mario. You put you in a singlet. I think I'm back watching that fucking Saved by the Bell right now. I think you look great, man.
Mentioned that singlet a few times, man. Before you got on, Matt made about 4 references to the singlet.
I appreciate it, Matt. Mad respect, much love, my man.
And Mario, you traded in the singlet for a kimono. I am so proud of you. You are a purple belt, halfway to Jedi, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. I've been doing both the gi and the no gi, and you know, having the wrestling background. So I thought I was too old, right, to get into it, but because of my boys and stuff, I started getting them into it. And I figured, all right, maybe I'll start training just so I can learn with them. And then once I fell into it, I fell in love with it.
How long have you been training?
I've been training, a few years now. I keep having to stop for injuries, which have nothing to do with jiu-jitsu. Ironically, they're all with boxing because I still spar and move around like an idiot. So I went through 3 years of bad injuries. I tore my rotator cuff. Then I tore my Achilles. Then I tore my biceps. It's a mess. Thank God right now I haven't torn anything in a while. It's an explosive sport though.
Did you fix your bicep when you tore it? Did you fix it?
It was completely torn, like shredded. And I just was up here and I was like, what the hell's going on? And
Mario.
Did you tear yours?
See this? This is my nice one.
Yeah.
Where did that one go?
Exactly. This one's got the full hoop. And then look at this one's got the little baby one because there's missing right there.
You know what's nice though?
How'd you do yours, Matt? How'd you do yours?
It'll help your rear naked choke. The neck fits in it better now.
How did you tear yours?
I was getting ready for my fight with Dean Thomas. and then he pulled out and I had another guy, my first time cutting the 155, and I was boxing. And this little guy, Walter Glick, was a Golden Glover. And I was learning on the job because I was a jiu-jitsu man in the UFC. And the great Ray Longo was like, you got to learn. You got no time to waste. I had to learn on the job my sparring. So this little Golden Glover was just lighting me up. And it wasn't a straight right. It wasn't a hook. It was one of those get away from me punches.
Yeah.
And I hit wide and it rolled up like a curtain during sparring. So I had to fight. less than 3 weeks after that. So I went to this
doctor,
and the doctor goes, look, he was an old school Navy doctor guy. He was cool. He goes, look, he goes, could you turn a key? I go, yeah, I could turn a key. He goes, all right. He goes, now, if you want to fight, you could fight. But your arm, if you want to get it reattached, it has to be done now. Otherwise, it'll just be for cosmetic reasons. So instead of having, I could still have one, two of these. So it wouldn't look like this. But here's the catcher. It was my third fight in the UFC. Kelly Delante, a Frank Shamrock student. I finished him with a triangle choke. So I'm glad it worked out.
It worked out.
Yes. How did you hurt yours?
I hurt mine sparring. Same way I was boxing. And I was already sweaty too. It was like the fifth round. And I had to go to work. And I was on my – and then I was starting to light him up. I did a little pivot, I remember. I did a little uppercut. And it was already kind of bothering me, but I thought it was just sore. I didn't realize it was slowly already sort of torn. And then when I did that big right hook, and I could felt it like go up. I go, what the hell? And then it looked weird. And, yeah, I had the surgery and had to get the whole thing. It was awesome.
What do they do? They like make an incision. They go in, they pull it down and just reattach it at the bottom?
Basically. And then I busted. I got an ugly scar because it's hard for me to sit still. The doctor said, you know, you can't do any exercise for a while. I was like, all right. And then I was like, well, I can do an elliptical. That's not a real exercise because I just felt I needed to sweat. And as I'm doing it, I busted the stitches open. I had to get stitched up again. It was awful. So I learned my lesson the hard way there.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. Who do you train with? Just I like the lineage and whatnot. Who's your instructor?
In jiu-jitsu or boxing?
Yeah, jiu-jitsu. I'm sorry.
In jiu-jitsu, I train at all the different Gracie Bajas out here, the one in Glendale.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, Robert Hill and Homolo in Northridge.
I know Homolo.
Tarzana and stuff with Edwin and those guys. So, you know, it's a great community. I really like the community and the camaraderie with those guys and the level of respect. And it's like physical chess, right? You're constantly problem solving and learning. So it's not as taxing on your body as wrestling.
Although
my knees might get, but they could differ a little bit.
not for anything, Mario. I just got a new knee, so I get you with that.
Okay, we're on the same program, it seems.
Yes, exactly. But let me ask you now, you have the wrestling background, you're still boxing, you love jiu-jitsu. If this was, you got involved in all of this a while ago. You obviously like to compete. Do you ever think you'd have a fight? You think you'd ever try your hand in MMA if you were a little younger or no?
Well, you know, I've always gravitated towards individual sports, in particular combat sports, with both wrestling and boxing. Like you mentioned, I got into jiu-jitsu late only because I got into the entertainment business so early. And I did like baseball and I did like all the, but you can't participate in team sports if you're not there all the time. It's not fair to the team, right? And all you have to do for wrestling is, you know, is beat out the guy in your weight class and you're able to make the team and represent. So that worked out well for me and my schedule because I was working since a kid. I've been working since, this is going to be my 40th year in the business professionally. Wow. I was 10 years old. It's something I just kind of fell into. So I've always kind of done it all. I was the only sort of kid that was like singing, dancing, acting, wrestling, doing karate, boxing, doing all these. I had an after school activity every day. And that's because, you know, it wasn't the most upscale neighborhood where I grew up in. I was a border town kid in Chula Vista. And my mom wanted to keep me busy and out of trouble. So she put me in everything. And then dancing, she knew, you know, kids were going to mess with me. So she wanted to make sure I could protect myself. First, I didn't like it. But then later on, when the ladies started to like it, I was like, all right, thanks, mom.
Right. It's like when they make fun of guys who take cooking classes. It's like, well, you know who else is in cooking classes? A lot of women. Exactly. So you meet women doing that. Now, you share an uncommon love for Disney, like a real love for Disney. My producer on my other show has this. Is this an obsession with you? Is this something you really love?
Disney? I think you might be mistaking me for somebody.
Oh, maybe I'm mixing you up with somebody else because I was told that you love Disney. Oh, ask him about Disney. And I was like, okay.
No, I mean, I got little kids. They like it, but no, that's not me. I'm actually a Universal guy. All my stuff is at NBC Universal. So I'm a corporate man for them.
All I know is I'm happy I asked you about jiu-jitsu.
First of all, he told me to ask you. So he, because I always shit on him for loving Disney. So I'm glad I didn't just shit on you. I asked you first because I always make fun of people who are just too into Disney as adults.
No, it's kind of weird if you're into, with all due respect to your friend.
Sure.
If you don't have kids and you're into Disney, then I'm, you know, it's a little trippy.
No, he does have kids, but it's still a weird thing. It's still bizarre.
Hey, what was it like? Universal, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I was going to say, I'm a Universal guy too, though. The line, you get the fast pass on that. 15 minute. It's 15 minutes tops.
Right.
Oh, man, me and my kids love that, especially the superhero part. We always visit that comic book. I'm talking about the one in Florida. I don't think they have.
Yeah. It's a similar. Now they got the Super Mario and the whole thing, so it's good.
I went there when it was Confrontation. When the Universal had that King Kong thing in like the late 80s, it was really not frightening. Yeah, it was like the big gorilla comes up. Yeah, they still have that?
Yeah, they still the one in LA they do. Yeah.
I've only been to that one down in Florida. I did it to save a relationship. Yes, sir.
Last millennium in the 80s? What are you talking about?
This was probably 1989 or 1990 that I went there. Yeah.
You got to get back out there, my little bird. Fly over.
I know. I'm not a big.
You come out. I got you.
I'm not a big fan of amusement parks or any of that stuff. What was it like working out with Canelo?
He's great. Super, super cool guy. And obviously worked with me and took it easy. But, you know, he'll keep you honest with you. He'll pop a couple good jabs, get a couple shots to the body. And he's like, hey, come on, throw hard. And so I've actually had the opportunity to spar with him a few times, which is great. That's what's cool, you know, being here in LA and loving combat sports, both MMA and boxing. I've gotten to move around with a lot of guys in boxing, everyone from like Canelo to De La Hoya, Pacquiao, James Toney, Shane Mosley, all these guys, which is great, just right here in all the gyms.
James Toney for MMA, you mean, or just for boxing sparring?
For boxing.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because I was saying he's the one boxer that fought that MMA fought Randy Couture.
Crazy. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm so foolish.
I don't think he's going to get there. Yeah, I don't think he's going to teach him the mount escape, Jimmy.
Well, that's what I thought he was talking about. Doesn't that seem to like that really like everyone always talks about how come boxers won't fight MMA and MMA guys always go to boxing? I think that's a big part of that reason was they saw like how fast a guy in MMA would end that fight, no matter how good a boxer is. That Couture Tony fight, I think, canceled a lot of would-be fights in the future.
Matt knows that, look, if you haven't had any sort of grappling background, no wrestling, you can't just all of a sudden learn how to sprawl in with instinct and be able to kind of defend yourself. That's it. Unless he's able to connect, the striker able to connect right off the bat, then once they grab a hold of you, that's all she wrote. It's a wrap. So it's fool. And look, I'm sure it was just sort of money grab for James. I love James. He's a great guy. One of the best boxers ever, just a natural born fighter. Boxer, I should say, but when it comes into MMA, it's not even, when people ask me all the time, I go, it's not even close. It's not even, it wouldn't even be close. Like any sort of, just a fight, not a mat, but just a fight. If the guy's in the street, the guy who has the grappling experience is going to win 99 times out of 100. Wouldn't you agree, Matt?
Oh, listen, you're talking to a jiu-jitsu man at heart. I won the title, my fist. Jimmy brings up all the time with my knockout of Frank Trigg, but I'm a jiu-jitsu man at heart. I taught the 7 a.m. this morning. Mario, if you're ever in these schools, you got to visit my school, dude.
Where's it at?
It's in Long Island. It's in Huntington, Long Island. You never know where you're at.
Hey, I'll cruise out. Thanks for the invite. Don't be surprised. I'll take you up.
And you know what's great, man, about jiu-jitsu? Because Jimmy just inquired. He's going to be going down to Henzo's with a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it's a very effective, but there's a lot of arts that are effective, like boxing, like judo. But there's a reason why there's not a judo school on every block, because that's very taxing on the body. The right. Sparring with the right people in boxing is okay, but the wrong people could be a problem. Sure. Jiu-jitsu, man, you could do this to your end of your days, Jimmy. You go with the right people, you're not getting hurt. I really try to push you towards it, Jimmy, because
you're right. You're absolutely right about that. I'm so glad, you know, I'm sure everybody, I wish I started when I was younger, but I'm so glad that I was able to sort of fall into it and again, fall in love with it and realize that, you know what, I can do this for the next 20, 30 years. If we're with the right people, you get some punk that gets crazy, then you have to drop a left hook on them. But
yeah. Jiu-jitsu also has this amazing air about it too. And I think because in the early days of UFC, the way guys like Royce Gracie were beating these other guys, it seemed unbeatable. It kind of got this mystical quality about it, almost like karate had in like the 60s and 70s. Like anybody that knows that can't be fucked with. And I think jiu-jitsu has had that for like the last 30 years.
Yeah, well, when it started originally, early 90s, I believe it was around 93 or so, essentially was all these different forms of martial arts or combat, right? You had boxers, yeah, dude with the one glove. And I remember with that, right?
Art guys,
all this stuff. And they were pretty much not well-versed in the other arts, just kind of going in with their one sort of skill set that they had mastered. And would Royce prove that, you know, jiu-jitsu ultimately was sort of the king of all those. And then now we've evolved to the point where you have to be so well-versed, and it's like a completely different fighter, athlete, and well-versed in all these sort of areas. And it becomes exciting when you have two grapplers at the highest level or jiu-jitsu guys. Then ironically, it turns into more of a stand-up fight because they sort of cancel each other out. And then you get a lot of action that way too.
One of my favorite fights, and it's not, I guarantee it's probably nobody's favorite fight except for mine, is, and it's because it's like what we talked about, two of the highest level grapplers in their art. So we had the highest level of wrestling with Ben Askren fighting the highest level of jiu-jitsu in MMA, Damian Maia.
I like that fight. I like that fight a lot. That was a really good fight. And by the way, Askren was doing great in that fight. He was winning that fight till the end, right?
What's so great about that fight, Mario, is that they both highlighted why they're so spectacular in their own.
Exactly.
Ben got the big, it was almost.
Ben was winning, right? Ben was winning until he got submitted. Yes. And that was on the heels of him already getting knocked out by Masvidal. Yes. Too. Remember? Yes.
Was that his second straight loss? He had undefeated when he came in. That was his second straight loss?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. And they gave him a fellow grappler, but oh my God. As a jiu-jitsu, I know the wrestling community.
Did he get him with that? I forgot. Do you remember?
I believe it was a rear naked choke. But before that, he put him to sleep, if I remember correctly. Jake, you can look that up. But before that, the displays of jiu-jitsu and wrestling. So you have Ben Askren using all his signature. He's getting some nice big takedowns. But then once it hits the floor, you got Damian Maia doing reversals from umapatas, reversals right. from Ashigarami's leg locks to reversals. I'm sitting there watching that thing just, oh, it was so technical. It was so technical.
It was beautiful.
And that's when Maia had two reversals. I just said that, Jake. Thanks for coming to the party late. Sorry, our producer's jumping in with
notes. I love that fight too, though. I love that fight too. And Maia, probably one of the more, I'm sure you would agree, skilled jiu-jitsu fighters in the game in UFC. And obviously, incredible athlete, incredible jiu-jitsu guy. But that was a great fight. And yeah, I was like, oh, damn, Askren's going to pull this off. And then, and the last round.
So beautiful, man. And there has got to be something about jiu-jitsu where you got guys like yourself. I'm sure you've both seen Mark Zuckerberg goes under a different. He went to a tournament for the Facebook.
Yeah, that's great. Tom Hardy. A lot of people have been asking about Tom Hardy and stuff. And some, we're about the same size. I'd love. That'd be fun for like something for charity. I'm already a huge fan of his. So much respect for guys like Hardy and Zuckerberg, who obviously have got a lot going on in their lives and their career. And the fact that Zuckerberg's younger than us, but Tom and I are around the same age and stuff. Incredibly busy, but something where you can just kind of escape, not worry about all that. And you have to put all your energy and focus on what's in front of you right there. That's nice. That's nice. You don't get too many opportunities like that in life. And it's refreshing and it sort of reinvigorates you. And it's great to see, man. And obviously great for the sport.
There's a real humility to it too. Especially when, you know, you're doing so well in life, your career, you've had a career that's, I mean, again, like you said, 40 years. And this is a place of almost like where every day there's something happening where you're humbled. Like we talked about this every day, you're getting tapped.
I was just training the other day and all of a sudden I got wrist locked. I was like, gosh, damn, I didn't know I could get wrist locked from the back. And that's such a pain in the ass. I was like, okay, good. I'm going to be aware of that now. So now it was great. And I'm glad it happened because that you learn. And every day you're always learning. I don't think you can ever truly fully master everything. Right, Matt? I think you're constantly learning, evolving. The sport itself is evolving.
I tell my guys, white belt mentality. I got my guys constantly helping me with things, especially Nogi with these new leg lock transitions. It never ends. It only ends if you think you know it all. So all I'm right. not that guy. I learn new things every day. But I am a fundamentals freak. I mean, when I teach.
You're right. That's what I'm just trying to get right now.
Oh, so much fun.
And Mario, they're telling us.
Island, hit you up then.
They're telling us you have a very hard out in 1 minute. That's
from coming from our producer. Yeah, I got to do a live show, but I want to come back and hang out and talk with you guys more.
What do you want to promote? Do we want to promote whatever you're promoting?
Well, listen, for a lot of everyone's girlfriends or wives out there, I host entertainment shows every day. I got Access Daily is my daily talk show. Access Hollywood, which is at night. And also I have a nationally syndicated radio show called On With Mario for iHeart. And then I'm going to be in New York. Actually, Matt, if I have time, I will hit you up. We're opening the Tribeca Festival. Mark Wahlberg and I produced a doc on Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy. That's going to be a three-part series that's turning out really, really it turned out excellent and really happy and proud of the way that came out. So that's enough for right now to kind of talk about. Hopefully everybody checks that out. And if you gentlemen don't have me again, I'll come back and we'll talk about other stuff that's going on.
Yeah, come back on again, man. It was great talking to you.
You too. Thank you for your time.
All right. Take care, man. Be good.
Take care, Matt. Thanks, man.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, he does. He's doing a million things.
Yeah, man, we got about hard out at 2:30. That was fun.
He had again for a live show. I wanted to make sure we didn't screw him by keeping him long.
And I don't want to exaggerate this, Jimmy.
Yes.
We can always cut this part out, but I know my wife knew I was gonna have him on today. Honey, I got a new best friend. Honey, I'm gonna tell her later that me and Mario are really becoming friends.
Yeah.
Not best friends, but you heard him. He wants to train with me.
He does, and he probably would.
He would. What a down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
I am going on record. I'm no longer Team Zach. I am Team Slater. Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a different strokes guy. I'm older than you.
What you talking about, Willis?
What?
Oh, Jimmy, you're so witty and fun.
I don't know. I'm a little tired. I'm very tired. I did a sleep study last night, and I'm just I don't do drugs at all. And I took a half an Ambien to sleep because I had a mask and all that stuff on me. I had to because I wouldn't have. They need to get results.
Hand in your chip, motherfucker.
No, it was literally to fall asleep while I had wires and masks and all that shit. It was a fucking nightmare, but I think they got the results they needed, hopefully. I'm hoping.
Wait, so what do you have to do? You have to get a what now?
A sleep study, which is like, I'm going to show you a picture. This is what, can you see this, Matt? This is me asleep. This is what I was wearing last night in bed.
Oh, you look like something out of Star Wars, Jimmy.
It's wires. There's probably 20 wires. A mask.
Elephant boy. It's a little elephant boy. Right?
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable. So I had to sleep, and they kind of calculate your what they need to do to help you stay alive with the machine. So that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to text your buddy back today. He and I texted a little bit. We're going to jump on the phone today.
Oh, Michael J. Mikey J.
Yes.
He's a good guy. He's a good man. Jimmy,
yes,
I like to make good people dangerous.
I know you do. And I'm already dangerous.
My pool guy's coming today because my pool's green, Jimmy.
And is there money in it? I don't like that you ignored when I said I was dangerous.
I think you should bring that one to the mothership when you're visiting the mothership.
First show, Saturday early show, sold out in the mothership. For July 15th, the 14th has tickets available, and the late show the 15th. But I think that those shows will sell very well.
Do you know how happy Joe Rogan was to see me the other day? It made me happy.
Sure. Of course. As happy as I am to see you.
Now that takes away everything. Cause sometimes I think you're not so happy to see me.
I'm always happy to see you.
I came in so hot that I felt you just wanted to go. I in your mind, I think when I was saying Slater in a singlet, I think in your mind you were going, just shut the fuck up. Just shut. In your mind, but you wouldn't want to say that because you know I'm more sensitive than I let on.
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't want to say shut the fuck up. I was just,
and say that 10 times fast, Slater in a singlet.
I won't say it once even. I won't even say it one time. I'm refusing. I'm rebelling.
Jimmy.
I'm very loopy today.
We got you grumpy, you said?
No, loopy. Oh, like I didn't sleep well last night. I didn't sleep well.
I think Loopy's a phenomenal fighter.
She is, yeah.
Now, this is going to be season 31. I'm starting to feel old. I was on season four.
I know.
I won season four.
Yes, you did.
You know, this is my thing. Michael Chandler, why is he a good fight?
Is he a good fighter?
Yeah. Tell us why he's a good – what does he have that these other guys that didn't beat Conor have? Is he going to mix in the wrestling? Or is he just going to look to fucking lay him out? I know he put guys to sleep with his hands. I know he's
yeah.
there and there.
But Conor could also outstrike almost anybody. What does he have? I also think he's not necessarily going to be – what's that?
Who could outstrike almost anybody?
I said Conor. I mean, Conor. Yeah. Conor's the ability to drop anybody. He's got beautiful, fast hands. What does he have? I think he has the ability to not be overwhelmed by the moment, too. I think Chandler is one of those guys who has the ability – to not be intimidated by the moment and by the size of the moment of fighting Conor. And I do think some guy, obviously Poirier has that too. Some guys have that where they become intimidated by the size of the event.
Yeah, Jimmy, size never intimidated me. I'm 5'6". I walk around 6'8". Listen to me. Confidence.
Yep.
Confidence, Jimmy. You understand? We have any fights this weekend or no?
Because no, we are. It's crazy. A weekend without fights. Without fights, I don't know what to do.
Well,
I have to go out, do my shows, come home, watch the fights on Fight Pass.
Oh, whose name are you going to put in Fight Pass?
Matt Serra?
People don't see, but I'm raising my eyebrows.
Are they? Yes, I was just hoping that they would wonder why I paused. Matt was raising his eyebrows like a hint was coming.
Yeah. You know, I'm having a bad day. I'll throw in that Kelly Delonte fight.
Sure.
I'll throw in the old Trigg fight. Why not?
Do you like watching that Frank Trigg fight, or does it upset you?
You know what? When he goes back and I see he's not getting up and I land a few more strikes, it is my pleasure. I enjoy it. It makes me happy. And then I do a little one-handed cartwheel. And then I do a shout out to my who was one at the time, but now she's 14. my kid.
Oh.
I would do a thing like this afterwards, like, daddy loves you. I was doing a little thing like this. If we were doing the show now, you probably think I was going to doing it to you. Like, my dad, oh, man. You'd be like, like Adrian watching that at home. You did it. Anyway.
I want to know where Conor is at, because I haven't heard anything about him being back in the USADA testing pool. I have a lot of questions, but this is a fight that I really want to see. And is this just a main event with no title on the line, or do you think they'll try to put some kind of a is this the BMF belt, or what are they talking about for the BMF?
BMF belt. I think they were talking about Gaethje versus
Justin Gaethje is Poirier too. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm not really into the whole BMF thing.
I don't mind. I'll tell you why I don't mind it. Because it's to me, everybody knows it's just a fan favorite thing. Like they're not trying to put it on the level of the lightweight belt or a welterweight championship. I mean, a bad motherfucker belt. It's just a fun kind of fan service thing. A couple of guys that they know people want to see fight. And, you know, I don't know. I don't mind it just because of the way the UFC talks about it. They had The Rock involved with, I think, the first one. Like, they're kind of, it's just for show, and they're letting you know that they're fine with that. That's why I don't mind it.
I'm so happy that Mario Lopez is a nice gentleman.
A very nice guy, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you meet these famous people, and you're like, man, I get a little worried.
I know.
Jerky, and then I like when they're nice, because now I'm like, I like him.
I know, because people have always told me I look like him, and I'm like, I at least hope he's a nice guy.
Why are you recycling my shit?
You didn't say you look like him.
I said my wife ended up marrying somebody who looked just like him. All right.
Oh, I actually didn't remember you said that. Let me amend
Carlos Mencia. Calm down over there. All right. Let's calm down. I'm fucking around. The number one rule of comedy, you cocksucker.
I know. And this is how dumb I am. I stole it.
I stole my joke on the same show.
But I stole it to you. I stole your joke and then did it back to you 10 minutes later.
I know I ain't a fucking rocket science, but I'm like, that sounds familiar.
I know. I didn't even catch that I did that. I'm a fool.
The joke holds. It holds with both of us, though, because we don't look like that gentleman. He's got to be around my age. How old is he?
46, I thought he said.
He's a year older than me. 73. I'm 74.
No, you're not. You're much younger than that.
Again,
I'm tired.
Jimmy, I think this stand-up comedy is not going to be as hard as I think now.
I'm tired. I'm sorry. I didn't get a lot of sleep. You see all the fucking wires I had on me? I'm loopy.
Jimmy.
I apologize.
First of all, did you have to sleep? You had to sleep in a hospital for that?
It's a lab. It's a sleep lab. It's a sleep center. Yes, it's a sleep center. Yeah.
I mean, dude, how does that work? I mean, how does that even look comfortable? That doesn't look good. You might, they'll be like, you had a bad night's sleep tonight when you were with us. Yeah, because you got fucking wires coming out of every orifice of your body.
Well, what happens is, in order to see how they have to set a machine for you, they have to get a couple of hours sleep with you, and then they adjust it. Well, there's people watching you on a camera the whole time, and there's a guy in another room adjusting the machine as you sleep to make sure that when you start to have a sleep apnea episode, it fucking takes care of it. So they have to ride the machine all night until they can determine the setting. So that's why it sucks. And I got a few hours, but I'm fucking exhausted.
Hey, man, listen, I'm a big guy with naps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That helps me get through the day.
Yeah, I feel very all over the place myself today, man. My brains are not particularly good. Hopefully I'll get my sleep down and things will be good soon.
Hey, Jimmy.
A month or two. Yes, sir.
Hopefully you get your shit together.
I know. If I'm going to take a little bit of jiu-jitsu, I want to be rested when I go in. It's my problem. I'm fucking tired.
If you look on my story on my Instagram, an old student of mine, he's a brown belt, this guy Brian Ugor, he brought in a shirt from me. And it was from the great Ensign Inoue. Have you ever heard of that gentleman?
No.
Well, shame on you. Because he's a pioneer of MMA, Ensign Inoue, and he's from Hawaii, him and his brother, Egan, and they're these Hawaiian Japanese guys, right? And they were badasses. They fought over in Pride and rings and all these different tournaments in Japan. And I believe in the UFC, if I have it correctly, this guy, same name as Royce, but it was pronounced Royce Algor. He's a former wrestler. There was a big deal about him getting in the UFC. And this is back in the day, bro. I forgot the number of it. Maybe UFC 9 or some shit. And he went versus Ensign Inoue. Hey, Jake, look up Ensign Inoue versus Royce Alger. A-L-G-E-R, I believe. Look that up and find out when that was. So people could look that up. So Ensign Inoue, he got taken down by this great wrestler. Armbar from guard. Beautiful arm lock from guard.
How does that happen?
That means when somebody takes you down like a wrestler does and goes to beat May 28th, 1997. May 29th, 1997, Mr. Bifocals. With those glasses, you better not miss that.
Hey.
What are you, Coward Eric? Without, you look like that little piggy wears glasses like that. Coach Piggy Eric wears glasses like that. That little piggy wears glasses. I should get a picture of that Coach Piggy next to you.
Coach Piggy.
I call him Coach Piggy.
You didn't like his shit talking. Didn't like that.
Now when I see him, I'm going to go, oh, Coach Piglet. Piggy, come here, Piggy. And he's going to go, Matt, don't say that. I warn you. I'm going to go, Piggy. Anyway.
What if he gets mad?
I don't know what's going to happen then. I'm going to be like, oh, no, Biggie. I'm going to be like, look, me and you, let's fight in the woods. That way I can react to something. I'm going to go make a noise. He's going to squeeze. Sorry. Chandler's in the room. And by the way, Jimmy, did you tell them to bring Mario Lopez when I was showing them off my acting skills? Did you tell
them? No. I honestly actually did not. No, of course not.
Did you tell them to bring Mario Lopez in when I was demonstrating Shelley?
No. Horn's- I was enjoying the Shining talk. We have, by the way, Michael Chandler's in the waiting room.
Let's bring him in. And then we'll talk about me and Coach Piggy doing that scene out of Deliverance. It's a great scene, Jimmy.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whatever camera he's using is really good. That couldn't be a regular webcam. That's got to be a real camera hooked up to a computer.
Are you guys talking to me?
Yes. Can you hear us, Michael?
Yeah, I was sorry, guys.
That's okay. I was saying how good your camera looked. It doesn't look like a webcam. Is that a real camera hooked up to the computer?
It's a real camera. So, yeah. So, we're actually we're filming a movie right now. So, this is actually one of the movie. No, I made that up. But it is a different camera.
Yeah, because the quality is really fucking good.
Thank you. Yeah, my hey, I'll tell you right now, I'm a man, I'm a pretty simple man. You know, my computer, I'm actually on my media director's computer looking at you guys. He's got a new computer. Mine is like from 2014. So my webcam is just pretty bad. So yeah, we got to hook up to a regular camera. We're getting set up over here at Chandler Media Studios. You know, we're getting set up.
Hey, let's say you take care of Khan and you kick his ass. Do you ever think about maybe Roadhouse 2, or you're talking about movies? Do you ever think about testing your feet in the old acting?
I have actually. And actually, a little known fact, I didn't really tell anybody. I actually shot a scene with Gyllenhaal in Roadhouse, the movie. So, but you know how at the very beginning you're doing the interviews and it's like, oh, I'm just going to go out there, I'm going to beat them up. And they do the highlights, they show your highlights. Gyllenhaal just beat me up in one of those highlights. So I'm not even probably going to get a credit. I mean, I'll probably get a credit for a stunt guy or whatever, but I got my SAG card. So definitely would love to dip my toes in the acting world, but we'll see.
How long did it take to shoot the scene?
So crazy story, might've been a ill-advised decision, but I actually went out there 2.5 weeks before my last fight, flew the Dominican Republic, stayed the night, woke up the next day, filmed probably 2 hours. Maybe 3 hours, but I only filmed for about an hour, and I was there kind of helping Jake with some of his lines while he was getting his hands wrapped. And the stunt coordinator kind of used me as a liaison, like, hey, what would a fighter be thinking here? What would a fighter say here? What would, right. You know, what are you thinking back in the background or in the back room, the locker room? So I was there for about 3-4 hours, but got my SAG card, got beat up by Gyllenhaal, got a little blood on me, and it was fun.
Oh, let me ask you, okay, what would a fighter be thinking? To me, so many movies, like say about cops or whatever, they go wrong because it sounds like a writer talking and not like the actual person talking. Like, you know, when they have two cops, one will say to the other, where do you think the killer went? I'm like, no fucking cop says that. Yeah. So I guess for a fighter, there are certain things you guys say and a certain language you guys use, which a writer wouldn't be able to capture unless he was just actually just listening to what you said.
Yeah, no, it's a great point too, because and actually in that scenario, there was the head stunt coordinator. He's awesome. And he actually has a martial arts background, but obviously he doesn't fight professionally like I do. And I'm still in it. I was just going to be at Madison Square Garden 2 weeks in the future from that day where I was at fighting against Poirier in front of millions of people, all that stuff. So I'm very much in it. And there was times where he was like, hey, I'm gonna have him say this. Would you say that? And I was like, I don't want to disrespect you, but no, I wouldn't, you know? So we were doing a little tweaks here and there, and it'll be funny, or I think interesting when I go back and watch the movie, I think there's a couple of lines that Gyllenhaal uses during that scene that I directly fed him. So it'll be kind of cool. You know, I won't get credit for it or anything, but it'll be fun, but it's definitely important to have that firsthand experience more than just the sensationalization of movies.
I think, okay, Matt.
I was just going to ask, if you want to talk more about that, Jimmy, you can. I'm going to cut you off. I want to talk about The Ultimate Fighter. Season, is it 31? Is it now?
31, man. 31 seasons.
Shit, man. I was on season 4. Michael, I'm feeling old now. You know what I mean? But now I know what it's like, both as a contestant and as a coach. So they put you in the same room. So I got it's very reminiscent. Like I watched that little clip of you and Connor, and it's funny though, because you know, you're a down to earth guy and you're being filmed, and you guys probably obviously know you're being filmed. But then it's almost like you let your guard down. You're talking to Connor. It's almost nice. Oh, 185. You do what you're told. And it's like, oh, you son of a. I know you know we're selling things and this and that. Was there any other, was there any times when he's sticking you where you're like, it got you to the point of almost losing your cool, which I can't picture you doing.
Yeah, no, not really. Because I think I understand. Yeah. I understood what it was. It's movie cameras and it's mic'd up, and it's, we're in this microcosm called a mixed martial arts reality TV show. So, you know, there was definitely times where I threw some zingers back at him, and truth be told, I'm pretty sure this was my first experience where I realized, did I really not say anything? And I just stood there like this when he said that, you know, or did they cut it like that? You know, so, you know, the storyline will always be Conor McGregor, the greatest trash talker of all time. So it's going to be cut like that. And I have no ill will towards any of the producers, the way they want to cut it. It's going to put eyeballs on ESPN all summer, no matter what. So it's going to be fun. And, you know, I actually just did an interview before this, and he mentioned Matt Hughes's season where he was playing solitaire, and turns out he was playing solitaire like 2 weeks prior, and they cut it in a completely different scenario. And he got a lot of flack for it. They said, are you ready for that? And I'm like, honestly, yeah. I mean, I signed up for it. I know what reality TV shows are. How what you see isn't exactly what happened, but either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, you can't be upset at the fact that we're going to be on ESPN all summer. Me versus Connor. I love my guys. Team Chandler did well, so we're excited about it.
Because all that matters is in the lead up to your fight with Connor that people have interest in that fight, which they do anyway. But any type of a storyline that makes this fight seem like it has a little more animosity or whatever, who gives a shit? No one's going to think, gee, Michael didn't have a great joke in episode. They're just going to think these two want to fucking hit each other. Like the excitement of the fight is never built around that guy won that argument. That guy, it's these two guys going head to head.
Which is very funny. Sorry, not to cut you off. I remember when that clip came out that Matt said, you know, you'll do what you're told. I was actually, the first time I saw it, I was laying next to my wife in bed, and she's fuming. She is ticked off. She's like, are you kidding me? Did you get mad when he said that? I was like, babe, no, this is awesome. Number one, kudos to Connor. That was a phenomenal line. And number two, it's reality TV and people are going to be interested in the fight. So that's all that matters.
And you're respected enough where people know you're not afraid of him. People know that you have your own way of doing things. I don't think anybody would look at that and go, gee, Chandler did not. Your way is your way. And I think that comes through. And just the more buildup there is, the more excitement there is about the fight. So whatever it is, it's good.
That's kind of what I see. You know, it's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be some times where I'm like, grip my teeth and be like, I don't know if I like the way they did that. Or I lay my head on the pillow and start churning and wishing it was cut differently. But ultimately, man,
sure,
it's going to be great. You know, people are going to love it. And I think, you know, it's going to be a really great season too, because of course there's going to be some reality TV feeling moments, you know, some trashy reality moments, right? Guys in the house and all that kind of stuff. That's why we watch. But it was also felt just as much like a sports documentary as well, bringing these guys into this and bringing us coaches in and the ups and downs, the fights, the rivalries, the venom, the tears, the joy. It was, man, it was fun, man. It's going to be fun.
Can I tell you that I can only speak for myself, and that show, The Ultimate Fighter, literally changed my life. And that's just, I know my season had a little different, you know, pot of gold at the end of it with the title shot and this and that. But hey, shit, changed my life. That show does. And a lot of other people's lives, man, they get on that show. And well, my mentality was for these fighters, even if you don't win, people get to know you and they actually get invested in you. They might just like you and you become somebody's favorite fighter from just being on that show. And that could be a good thing. So it's such an opportunity for these guys. It really
is. And was that how you ended up fighting St. Pierre off the show?
Yes.
Wow. So you talk about life changing.
Oh yeah. So it's so weird because my season, the fourth season, was they wanted to do something different, and it was called what was it, Redemption or One Last Shot at Glory. So it was guys that were in the UFC at 170 and 185, but they never made it to a title. So I just got done losing to Carol Parisian by decision. So I qualified to get in there, you know?
Yeah, and, no, that's
again, yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. And that's what I saw too. And that's what I said to these guys as well. Win, lose, or draw. Nobody gets this kind of exposure for this extended amount of time on ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports. So, and that's what I told these guys, win, lose, or draw, you have the opportunity to capture the hearts and minds. You have the ability, whether you win this fight, you lose this fight, the things that you said, the way you treat people, your persona or your reputation, man, that was the glue of Team Chandler. You know, that was what we were always thinking about. And it was my goal. My goal was, yeah, two of you guys are going to get contracts, but the other guys, you're not. But that doesn't mean you're not going to get your shot in the UFC. And we're going to make every decision we can based upon that.
I
was going to say, you know what's funny, as a coach on that show, and I could tell you're like me, Michael, I could tell you got a big heart where, you know, you have your team at home. And then you go there, you're not expecting to like feel for these guys or anything, but then you start to know their journeys and they have nothing else to do in there. So they end up talking to you. And now you're like, all right, you see all these guys with their different dreams. You see where they come from and you end up caring for them. I mean, back when we had Team Sarah, me and Longo, we cared about these guys. I still stay in touch with these guys. Yeah.
Big time. And of course me, you know, it's the competition aspect of it. Obviously before I met my fighters, I was all about beating Connor. I want to beat Connor. I want to show the world that I'm a better fighter than him. Later on when I fight him, I'm a better coach. I'm a better leader. I'm a better this and a better that. Then all of a sudden I meet my guys. I look them in the eyes. I shake their hand and I'm like, I don't care about beating Connor at all. I just want these guys to be successful. I want to pour myself into these guys. And as a byproduct, hopefully I end up beating Connor. You know, if I put my best foot forward, if I make these guys believe in themselves while also giving them the best opportunity of their life, I will, by and large, as a byproduct, put myself in the best situation to beat Connor at the end. And it was just funny how my perspective shifted. All I cared about was beating Connor. And now all I care about is beating Connor, obviously later this year when we fight.
Sure.
It was all about my guys, man. And if anything, I cared too much. It was a hard experience because I cared too much about these guys.
Yeah.
Was that your first time meeting him or had you met him before?
I had never met, so I had met him before. I shook his hand. So if you remember my debut in the UFC, I fought Dan Hooker. I met him at the press conference because he was fighting Poirier.
Yes.
Yeah, he was fighting Poirier. So I had met him there. We had fought on the same card. I was the co-main event. They were the main event. Shook his hand. That was when he was respectful, Connor, too. If you remember that training camp, that press conference, he was very respectful. So he was kind of in a very respectful mode, and he's gone through his ups and downs of who Connor is, which that was the beauty of it too. And the scary part of it, you never know which Connor you're going to get. So
what was your first, your first time on the show? I know they shoot things sometimes out of order too, where they do, what was your first day of shooting? What were you guys doing? Like when you first actually interacted?
First day. So actually the scene Matt alluded to where Connor told me I'll do what I was told. That was when, I realized we were about to meet each other. You know, they're like, hey, go to the gym, you know? And then I'm like, what's going on here? And then in walks Connor. Right. And in this, I can say that because that's how the scene was.
Sure.
That's how the trailer was put out there. And that's where we met. That's where we started talking. That's where we started talking a little bit about beating each other on the show, but also beating each other and fighting each other later on. And we talk about the weight and all that different stuff. So that's when the pressure started, if you will. And man, it was fun for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah. And what was different about shooting a show than you would have thought? Going through the experience, what about it wasn't what you expected or was better or worse than you thought it would be?
Well, the one thing, and this is a question I've gotten a lot now, hey, how much of that stuff is real? You know, how much of that stuff was, you know, what you're saying, is that scripted? There was nothing, none of that, you know? It was essentially, here's your microphone. You know, there's cameras everywhere. Here comes your guys, do your thing, right? So that was one interesting thing. I thought there was going to be a lot of times where I was like, hey, Connor's going to come in here. Make sure you say something about this. Or, hey, they didn't tee any of that stuff up at all. So I can honestly and genuinely say what you see is what happened over the course of that time. And then, as I said earlier, what really caught me by surprise was I was not prepared for how hard it was going to be. I think it was middle of week three. I was just like, man, I am so homesick. I miss my wife. I miss my boys, because I had a moment of like pulling myself out of the show. And I was like, man, I'm missing their lives and I'm missing this and I'm missing that. And all I'm doing is thinking about these fighters. But ultimately, that was why I think it was a, you know, in my eyes, a successful show. Win, lose, or draw, every single fight didn't really matter. We were making waves. So it was just tough being on camera, being mic'd up at all times, always being afraid of what I was going to say, what I was going to do. You know, so that's always nerve wracking in this day and age, especially. So,
what's the weight class for this Ultimate Fighter?
Weight classes are 135 and 155.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. So we got two different weight classes going on.
Is he in the USADA pool yet?
There's been reports. I don't know if anybody has confirmed it, but there's been reports. So obviously you do the 6 month math and that leads us to, you know, late fall, early winter sometime. You know, obviously Dana was talking about November and December. That's what a lot of people are talking about. I don't care when it is. I'll be training. I'll be ready. And I'm excited for this summer, watching this show and building that and all the different press conferences and stuff we got to do. It's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, that's why you're getting your camera ready and you get your setup, because what a smart guy. You know you're going to have a lot of press and you get the good camera. You're like, fuck the webcam. Let's make this look right. And the background looks good. You want to have you want the press conferences and all that shit to be good.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah. Thank you. And I'm taking it a step further. I'm here in my studio. We got four cameras set up. We got lights. We got everything set up here. Every single week, we're going to be doing a tough reaction show as well. So I got a bunch of guests lined up. I'm going to be bringing my fighters in. A firsthand experience of every single episode. Oh my gosh, what happened here? Here's what I was thinking. Here's how they cut it. Here's what Connor, what they didn't show you was this. So your firsthand experience will be on YouTube, released right after every single episode this summer. We do our first one. It's a pre-tough episode that we're launching probably this weekend or Monday. And then the first episode of the reaction show goes this coming Tuesday. And then every single Tuesday leading up to the finale or the end of it. So I can bring people in and really tell them what it was like and recap the reaction to every single episode. And I'm going to do it right here at the comfort of my studio here in Nashville.
So you'll be seeing these episodes as they air. Like, you haven't seen them before?
Nope.
Wow. So you'll see how they put it together when everybody else sees how they put it together.
Yep. So it'll be a reaction right after too. You know, it'll be my knee-jerk reaction, my guests' knee-jerk reaction, their questions that they would have, you know, and I'm going to bring in a bunch of different people of all walks of life, whether they are athletes, whether they are fighters, whether they have never fought ever and they're just fans, whether they don't know much about the sport whatsoever. So it'll be a good mixture of us having good dialogue about this entire season. It's going to be all on my YouTube channel. So I'm trying to direct everybody there to subscribe, because we're going to be coming out with a lot of content this summer. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Let's plug that YouTube channel right
now. Thank you. Yeah. So it's just like my social media handle, youtube.com/MikeChandlerMMA. So that's my YouTube channel. And we're going to be doing giveaways. I actually got it right here. My favorite book of all time, As a Man Thinketh, a lot of the stuff that goes on inside here. So I got, this is signed, and inside of it is a signed Panini card of me. Justin Gaethje is this one. So we'll have 12 of those. We're giving away one after every single episode. Obviously, there's going to be ways to enter into that giveaway. So it's going to be cool. It's going to be fan, very fan friendly. Answering people's questions is also my anecdotal kind of experience of the Ultimate Fighter.
Interesting. Sorry about it. I was going to say, it's interesting too, because people are going to get a very raw reaction out of you. Like, you know what I mean? Whenever you see something, you're either going to go, that was really the way it went, or you're going to go, what the fuck, man? Like, or you're going to have like a problem with it, and it's going to be very raw. And you normally don't get to see that. You get to see people talk about reality 6 months after it's aired, or as they're promoting it beforehand. It's very rare you get to watch episodically and then see somebody's reaction to what was shown, because they're seeing it for the first time too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's going to be, you know, one of the growing pains of it, or the, you know, what I'm signing up for, because it's going to be an interesting time in my life. You know, very few times do you get this much attention on you, for better or worse. So you've got to be completely honest. There could be three episodes in a row where they make me look like, you know, the worst, you know, but I'm hoping not for that. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And it's going to be firsthand. I mean, that's the most important thing. We've got everything set up. We got the team set up for us to be able to put it together. And right away, when people were like, holy cow, that was a crazy show. Let's go see what Chandler's saying about it. And they can go and they can watch it right away. And, you know, just giving people a glimpse into the real life what is going on right now after the reality TV show. And, you know, we believe it's going to be awesome, but everyone can go to YouTube right now and subscribe. Mike Chandler MMA is my channel on there. So
that's great.
You sparked my interest. That book of yours. What a man. Think if, what is that about? Really quick. Let's
as go. Dude, great, great question. So first of all, it's the greatest book of all time written by a human being. It's only 40 something pages long. That's why I love it. I'm not a big leader. Okay. Or not big, not a big reader. Listen, Matt, they say readers are leaders. Okay. But I am a self-proclaimed, not a big reader guy. Yeah. But James Allen wrote this back in 1902, and it's all about as a man thinketh, so he becomes. And he talks a lot about, we look at our circumstances in life and we think that life is just serendipitous and it's kind of chaos and it's kind of, constantly working against us, but really everything that's going on inside of our mind manifests itself then into our circumstances. So it talks about thought as it pertains to your health, thought as it pertains to your goals and your accomplishments, thought as it pertains to your relationships. And as I said, this is brand new because this is going to be one of our giveaways, but this one right here that my wife got me about 3 years ago is all, you know, noted up and all that kind of stuff. I've probably read this over 50 times because it is so short. And it is just so, it's just so practical. And ultimately, you'll never be able to consistently perform in a manner that is inconsistent with the way that you see yourself or the way that you see the world. So therefore, build your mind and the body will follow.
It sounds like the power of positive thinking, kind of.
Yeah, very similar. So a lot of, if you see all a lot of the books, the newer ones, Think and Grow Rich and The Power of Positive Thinking. I mean, a lot of that stuff was birthed from James Allen's works. He's got a bunch, like a couple great books that came out of it. But he's a very stoic kind of guy, a lot of stoic philosophy. I've been studying a lot of the stoic stuff lately, Marcus Aurelius and Seneca. It's just all about life is happening for you. And sometimes it's happening to you only because of the way that you see life and the way you see your circumstances, the way that you look at life, and ultimately what's going on in here between the ears.
Very interesting, Michael. I'm looking forward to this a lot this season. Like, really, I think you and Connor is such an interesting match and a great match. And obviously, it's going to lead to a fucking fight between you two, which who doesn't want to see that? Yeah. Come back again, please, right before the season airs. If you get time, we would love to talk to you. Or in the middle of the season to promote your show that you're doing live to promote that YouTube show.
And when does it air exactly?
May 30th is the first episode of the Ultimate Fighter. And then my show is airing as soon as the show concludes. So as soon as the show concludes, boom, there's our reaction show.
So May 30th after the show on your YouTube.
Yep.
Go to Mike Chandler MMA YouTube. Yep.
YouTube.com/MikeChandlerMMA. So it's, we're throwing a bunch of content up there. I got a bunch of my Walk on Wisdom podcasts and stuff, and we're going to be sitting here doing a lot more podcast stuff as well. And it's going to be good. So can't wait.
Great.
Congrats on everything, man. Mike, I'm just happy you're going to be getting paid and getting the attention you deserve, man. Why you're happy. Yeah, dude, I'll do what I'm told. Fuck, I'm getting paid. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Let him say whatever he wants to say. You'll be locked in a cage with him soon enough. I can't wait.
I know, man. It don't matter what is said. It don't matter what weight it's at. We're going to go out there. We're going to tussle. It's going to be a blast.
Thank you, Michael. Talk to you again soon, man. Always, always great having you.
You got it. I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Take care. And Matt, thank you to Mario Lopez. 7 o'clock tonight, I'm going to be at the Fat Black Pussycat every Wednesday from now until the end of June. I'll be doing my hour there. It's been amazing. So if you want to come, come.
SarahBJJ.com, you know, you might want to, you know, Sarah t-shirt. You might be in Huntington, New York. You might want to stop in there and see me.
Yeah.
Picture. You don't need a picture.
Why not?
Jimmy, you know, why wouldn't you with me? Why not? Jimmy, I miss you already.
Me too.
Great memorial. Everybody have a nice, safe, happy memorial.
Have a great one. Are we off Monday?
Let's find that out.
We should be. I'm going to be out of town.
Everybody will miss us.
I know. That's the beauty.
Let's keep them in suspense. If not, gang, we will see you next week sometime.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.